Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Every word of promise that Christ preaches comes true. This has proven true as Christ has risen from the dead. He told his disciples he was going to rise from the dead after he had been handed over to sinful men, crucified. This has been fulfilled also on the day of Pentecost in what he promised to his disciples when he said, "I will send the Helper, the Comforter to you." But when Christ ascended into heaven, he also left them with that promise once again. "John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. And, but you will receive power from the Holy Spirit. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and to the end of the earth." So they had seen Jesus' promises be fulfilled in the resurrection, and now they've been given one more promise, that the Holy Spirit will come upon them. And then with that promise, the disciples watch Jesus ascend into heaven. He departs from them. And maybe there was a little bit of a moment of them saying, "Is this promise really going to be fulfilled?" Maybe there's still a little bit of doubt and confusion, but it doesn't last long, because you remember the account from the ascension. The angels call them back. "Why do you stand there looking into heaven? This Jesus is going to come back just in the same way that he has promised, because his promises always come true." So after they have received that consolation from the angels, they don't act as if they're confused. They don't act with despair, not knowing if Jesus' promise about the Holy Spirit is actually going to come true. They act straight after that in preparation for when it will come true. What were they doing after Jesus ascended into heaven? The book of Acts tells us all these with one accord were devoting themselves to prayer, together with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers. They stayed together, and they got together regularly to wait for that promise of the Holy Spirit to come upon them. And how did they wait? With prayer. And also, in the meantime, they knew that they were going to be sent into all the world once the Holy Spirit had fallen upon them to preach the gospel. So last week we talked about how they appointed another apostle, Matthias, to replace Judas. Because the message is important. That they knew their duty when the Holy Spirit came upon them would be to be witnesses of the resurrection to all the world. So the disciples do not have despair, they do not have confusion, but they earnestly wait for the promise of the Holy Spirit to fall upon them in order that they might have their mission, their marching orders. Because Jesus' promises always come true. And that's exactly what happens in the beginning of our reading on the day of Pentecost. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. When the Holy Spirit descends upon them, this confirms for them once again that when Jesus promises something, it always happens. So in that way, the Holy Spirit confirms Christ to be true Lord. And by the power of the Holy Spirit that gave them the power of the tongues on that day, it confirms that same Holy Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead now gives them power, now gives you power, and he is that powerful. And then it also empowers them to proclaim Christ. Proclaim Christ to all the world, every nation, every tongue. That's the message that our text has for us today from Acts chapter 2. That the Holy Spirit on Pentecost confirms Christ. And then the Holy Spirit on Pentecost proclaims Christ. Confirms that everything that Jesus ever did and said is absolutely true and will come to be. And then proclaims that all people might find salvation in his name through the preaching of the apostles. And the Holy Spirit continues throughout all human history, today even, confirming Christ and proclaiming Christ. First, we'll talk about how he confirms Christ on the day of Pentecost. First of all, by the great and mighty power that he gives to his disciples to speak in other languages, God confirms their preaching with a great miracle. That surely what they preach is true because of the great wonder that they see. And they know for sure that the Holy Spirit has fallen upon them because of what occurred. The mighty rushing wind, the tongues of fire on their heads, the speaking in tongues. It all witnesses to the disciples and to everybody looking that these are the messengers of the one true God and that that one true God is powerful. And when they preach that Christ is surely risen from the dead, absolutely it is true. Christ is risen from the dead. And it also confirms that Jesus keeps his promises, like we said earlier in John chapter 14 when he promises his Holy Spirit. When Jesus says something, he follows up on it. He gives his Spirit to you. He gives his word to you. And then finally, the Holy Spirit confirms Christ by confirming that he is the fulfillment of the Old Testament. All those Old Testament prophecies. All those prophecies and words that people were looking forward to are now fulfilled in Christ. And Jesus' death and resurrection brings in the great and glorious day of the Lord that the prophet Joel promised. They don't have to keep wondering, will it happen in the future? It has happened in the person and work of Jesus Christ. He is the culmination of all of human history. Everything has been waiting for his death and resurrection, because in his death and resurrection, you have life forevermore. And that's exactly what Peter confirms in his sermon based off of Joel chapter 2. But this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel. And in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my male servants and my female servants, in those days I will pour out my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heavens above, and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness, and the moon to blood, before the day of the Lord comes, the great and magnificent day. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's the promise of the Old Testament. That's the promise of Jesus. That's what's fulfilled on Pentecost. Because what occurred on that day? The people were astonished. We hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God. Think for a second how bizarre that must have been. The reason why all the people were there is because Pentecost is an Old Testament celebration. It's not just something new in the New Testament, but it's actually one of the holidays that God commanded his people to celebrate in Leviticus 23. So there are pilgrims coming to Jerusalem from all over the place. It said, devout men from every nation. That's why there were so many people there. And can you imagine that crowd? Just swarming together. You're trying to, you know, buy food or something, or say, excuse me. But everybody's talking in different languages. You've had that experience before. Have you ever tried to talk to somebody who does not understand the language that you're speaking? It's hard. It's confusing. So that's what you would expect on that day. Difficulty. Confusion. maybe a little bit of frustration, but that's the exact opposite of what the Spirit brings. He brings clarity. He brings peace. As that entire crowd from every nation, from every language, they all hear in their own tongue the mighty works of God being proclaimed to them. That same language that they grew up with, that same language that their mother spoke to them in, now they're hearing the mighty works of God proclaimed to them in that language. And the message is very clear. Gentiles don't have to become Jews in order to believe in God. God speaks to each and every nation and each and every language in your own tongue, telling everyone that God saves them. And we don't have to wonder, what were the apostles saying? I bet it was a pretty good sermon on that day. What was actually the content? We don't have to wonder. What were the people saying? We hear them proclaiming the mighty works of God. And what were the mighty works of God? That Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, that he has lived a perfect life on our behalf, that he died taking all sin of all time onto himself and paying for it, and that he is risen from the dead. That is certainly, surely, what they were telling all people. And they proclaimed that truth boldly to everyone on that day. And then after that day, they continued to proclaim it into all the world. Finding what was lost, gathering what was scattered. Because they were surely going to find all kinds of unbelief and idolatry as they went throughout all the world. As we read in our Old Testament reading from Genesis chapter 11, those people, God had commanded them after Noah got off the ark to fill the earth, and they refused to. They all got together and say, hey, maybe if we all stay together, we can make ourselves equal to God. How about that? God didn't allow that. He dispersed them and confused their languages. But then even after he dispersed them and confused their languages, do you think they still should have been teaching the one true religion to their children? Absolutely. They had been given the word of God from their ancestors, and it was their responsibility to pass it down to the next generation. But then they didn't. They didn't. And they fell into all kinds of idolatry. So that at the time of the Old Testament, there are so many different nations all over the place worshiping all kinds of different gods and doing all kinds of abominable deeds. And the same thing is true in the time of the apostles. The same thing is true for us today. So when we go out into the world, we're faced with unbelief. We're faced with idolatry. But that's why the Holy Spirit is so powerful and why Jesus gives the Holy Spirit to us. That the Holy Spirit is always calling people back to the one true God, finding what was lost, gathering what was scattered. As Peter proclaims, everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And the Holy Spirit that was busy on the day of Pentecost, enlightening the preaching in the minds of those people and of the apostles, he's still doing the same things today. He's still busy at work today in the preaching of the church, in the hearing of believers, in the strengthening of our faith throughout our entire lives. He is the one who creates faith in the hearts of everyone who believes. Like Luther says in the explanation to the third article of the Creed, I believe that I cannot, by my own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to him, but the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, sanctified and kept me in the true faith. It's not that you're so good that you figured it all out, that you willed yourself to be here, that you're sitting here right now. But rather, it is a gift of the Holy Spirit who is powerful. And he must be powerful in order to get through to people. Because people are just that stubborn. people are just that idolatrous. But just like there was the mighty rushing wind on that day, the Holy Spirit proves himself to be powerful to break through all human imaginations, all human idolatry, all human self-deception. Those stories we tell ourselves that we're okay just the way we are, or that we don't really need God, or that we can find God on our own terms, the Holy Spirit just topples that over. And in the same way, when we have stony hearts that refuse to believe in God, the Holy Spirit, like he manifested himself on the heads of the disciples that day in tongues of fire, melts the stony hearts of men. The Holy Spirit is that powerful that he could create faith in the hearts of the Apostle Paul. The Holy Spirit is that powerful that he could create faith in me and in you as well. And the Holy Spirit is busy today not just creating faith, but also sustaining faith. The day of Pentecost was miraculous. It was wonderful, and many people believed in Jesus because of it. But it wasn't just a one-time thing, as if that was one day, it was miraculous, it was great, and then we just forget about Jesus after that. And in the same way, it's not just a one-time thing for you either. It's not like you were baptized as a baby or as an adult, and then you just leave it behind, but the Holy Spirit continually preserves faith, strengthens faith in you, teaches you the one true faith. And why can I say that? Because fast forward to beyond the day of Pentecost. What do you think the apostles were doing immediately after that day? The book of Acts tells us in Acts 2:43, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. We might be wondering what they do after that. They probably did some great and extraordinary things. And then maybe we read that and think it sounds kind of boring. Because what are they talking about here? They're talking about going to church. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. That's the word of God. They devoted themselves to the breaking of bread. That is the Lord's Supper. They devoted themselves to the prayers and to the fellowship. That's getting together to praise God and give our prayers of thanksgiving and our supplications to him. That's really what they were doing. Even the apostles, the ones who saw Jesus face to face, they were going to church? Yes. Because that's how the Holy Spirit comes to us. The Holy Spirit comes to us through the Word. As St. Paul says in Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ. So being a Christian doesn't mean that I'm just going to automatically just have all these extraordinary visions by the Holy Spirit or something like that. Maybe on the surface, the world might look at it and think that it seems a little boring, just going to church on Sunday morning. But that is how the Holy Spirit promises to work. He promises to work through the Word, through the preaching, through baptism, and through the Lord's Supper. Don't look for him anywhere else. Look for him where he has promised to be, in the Word of Christ, in the words of the apostles. And he's doing this in order to constantly, every day, give you life. As St. Paul says in Ephesians 2:1, we were dead in our trespasses and sins. Couldn't do anything, couldn't believe, couldn't be saved, dead. But the Holy Spirit enlivens us through faith in Jesus Christ, lifting us up from the dead, giving us strength, giving us life. And it's the same thing like when Ezekiel saw that valley of the dry bones. What could those bones possibly do? Could they stand themselves back up and bring themselves back to life? Absolutely not. But what does God tell Ezekiel to do? Prophesy to the breath. prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may live. Life comes to the valley of dry bones through the wind, through the breath. And the same thing happens for his church today. While we are dead in our trespasses and sins, Christ makes us alive through his breath, through his spirit. What happened when God first created Adam? What was Adam all by himself, even after God had formed him? A lump of clay, lifeless. Until, what does Genesis say? The Lord God formed the man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living creature. Life is in the breath of God. And the same thing happens for us, that even when we are dead in our trespasses and sins, Christ gives us life, brings us back to life through his breath, through his spirit. And this comes to you each and every day through the preaching of the word, each and every day in the remembrance of your baptism, each and every time that you take the cup and take the true body of Christ. The Holy Spirit comes upon you to make you alive. And he does this to strengthen, sustain you, in order that when he comes again, you may have life with him forevermore. Everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.